Welcome to Total Fitheads.
Serious fitness for not so serious people.
Hello, Max. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. And then awkward pause.
Are the awkward pauses on us or the guests?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how anybody intros anybody. The only one I've ever listened to was what's his name? Kevin Smith had this podcast where he'd have guests on, and it was really, really fun. And they're comic book artists or writers or illustrators or whatever. And he would do this incredibly detailed and touching sort of intro to them. And then he grew up here, and then he started his passion for art and here and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, he really figured out the heart and soul of this secondary character. And it just, you know, and you're like, wow, this is a really cool intro. And then he goes, anyway, that's our guest today, Allie. Welcome, Allie. And then you realize the person's been sitting there across the table from him for the last like 11 minutes, just being like, oh my God, this is so nice. And it's you know, in most other, I guess, podcasts or whatever, maybe TV shows, but like they do that off camera or prior to, or they do it after the episode,
yeah,
or they do it after they've talked to them, or they do it whatever. But it was wild because it was like the guy was just like the person like sitting across the table from somebody making eye contact while he tells you this really, really touching biography story of your life, and you're just like, oh.
So then a ton of episodes open with awkward humbleness and thanks,
and they'd be like, oh my God, thank you, that was so nice, like that's incredible, I can't believe you, oh, I don't know what to say, you know, it's like,
except it was, they wrote it.
Right, yeah. Who knows how they got it, but they, you know, yeah. It's disarming at the very least. And unbelievably flattering.
There's an episode, it's either The Simpsons or the Futurama, and I'm mad that I can't remember, but whatever, it's the same creators. And there's a guy on stage and he goes, I'd like to introduce a man who needs no introduction, and then he just walks on stage.
That's a great one. I've stolen that joke a couple times. I feel so like good. I did that on Chip Chat a couple times.
Oh really?
I think I literally said just that. And you know what's messed up too is that I probably in the moment was like, oh, I'm so smart for thinking of that joke. And it was just because I heard it when I was 11 and I was like, that's funny. And then I like tucked it into my,
sure,
you know, the filing cabinet or whatever.
I wonder how many times we do that. Or, you know, an altered version that has something to do that with your life and that you've added to.
Oh, every
now
time.
We steal jokes.
I think every joke is stolen, and it's just
there's
how
no
you
new
put
jokes.
Your spin on it. I think every joke is stolen. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure I made a joke, and my dad was like, "Yeah, I think I've heard that joke before, or some version of it." I was like, "Oh, really? From what?" And he goes, "The Bible."
comedic verse 2:17.
All right, so I was like, "Oh, geez, I guess I'm not that." I guess it's not a new joke. I guess it's about as old as it gets.
Lord.
But every joke
I've
is
been
your
watching...
joke if you put your spin on it.
Yeah, that's true. Have you seen Z-Way? No one has, I don't think. I saw
a
billboard for it, and then I got signed into my parents' Showtime on demand. So
whoa, flex. Showtime.
My dad has 2-factor, so I had to text him personally to get the hookup. Thanks, Dad.
Amazing. Oh, shout out Allie's mom. We almost, almost 11 minutes in.
11 minutes in, we didn't get to it. Okay, yeah. Also, her account. So this is a joint gift
joint
to
shout
me.
Out. Yeah.
And Z-Way's on that whatever Showtime on demand.
Showtime.
So I started watching it, but she sits. Like the point is that she's trying to, you know, make people say something a little racist or, you know, un-PC, and she'll just sit there and stare, and it's hilarious, and she does a great job of it. But that's the actual bit, right? Is to not keep the conversation going.
Oh my God, that would be so brutal. Like those Between Two Ferns ones.
Yeah. Well, I watch it at late. I had to stop watching it late at night because it was stressing me out too much, because I was imagining myself in the other chair. And I was like, how would I answer this? How would I handle this? She'll be like, how many black friends do you have? And then the people have to be like, wait, do I answer this at all? And then do mm-hmm. I answer seriously? And then no matter what you say, you're screwed. And she has an apology camera where they'll cut to and you can turn to it and be like, I'd like to apologize to my five black friends or whatever.
That's really funny to put the onus on them, because between two ferns, Zach Galifianakis does that. Only the meanness is on him. He's mean as an interviewer. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so funny. What's funny is how, like, if you ever watch the outtakes, the people that are being sort of disrespected, the outtakes are incredible because they like can't hold a straight face. They're like crying, laughing. They're like spitting their coffee out, laughing. They're like, that's the funniest thing in the world, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. My favorite one is when he goes to Brie Larson, Captain Marvel. He goes, I've heard you're a very private person when it comes to your personal life. So this is a two-part question. Is that true? And how old were you when you got your first period? And then she goes one of these. She's like trying to be mean, like mean face. And she's just like, you could see it cracking. And then like a half second later, she just starts crying, laughing. It's so funny. And then he goes, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, it just totally, it's way more fun almost to like know the inside of the joke. Or be on the inside of the...
Sure. Yeah, sometimes, most of the time, the bloopers will perform better in watch time than the actual video that you make.
I know.
Or there are ones where you'll put bloopers in the video. I watched your apology. Or, no, not apology, but your... yeah, that time you got canceled, remember? No, when you were saying that anything. You don't like
oh, I'm sorry,
the
you're right.
New England... You like some other team. Was it Baltimore? I don't know.
There was the Ravens. Yeah, that was side bet.
Yeah, you lost a bet. Clearly lost a bet. And had to pronounce your love to the Ravens and hate for New England. And it was so funny. Yeah, within that, you had like blooper things or takes where you screwed up but left it in and whatever. It was well done. Yeah,
that's fun. That was a fun one too, because that's a good friend of mine. He loves the Ravens, and it was a fun sort of good natured way to not only make some content out of it, but also, you know, whatever, like it was an excuse to get in touch with, you know, somebody I don't talk to. He lives in Florida now, so T. Pindell, he does a lot of comedy sketches and stuff like that. And I met him during YouTube stuff, and I think you probably have met him at Playlist or VidCon or one of these things. Really, really funny guy, really cool guy. Yeah, and actually, he's written a couple of skits for me to be in, and there is one where he wrote something about like we're broke, we're trying to make money, and so first we try to start a band and it doesn't work, and then we had a sign that says dollar hugs and it doesn't work, and that's the bit, I guess. And then in one of the outtakes, we go and do the thing and it doesn't work, and then we come back to the couch and like discuss why it didn't work and what our next plan was. And he come back and I had this really good idea. And it was funny because I didn't really know him that well at the time, but I had this good idea for a joke. I had a sign that said dollar hugs, and then I had a sign that said 50-cent blowjobs, as like that was the sort of the accentuation of the joke. And then we come back and he goes, that was so stupid, 50-cent blowjobs. And then I go, why'd you buy so many then? And he put that in an outtakes video because I completely forgot I said it. And what happens is I go, why'd you buy so many? I'm sorry. Like, and I like immediately started apologizing because I made this sort of awful joke, racist or racy joke. And I didn't like know him very well, but I was like, whatever, you know. And I just sort of said it, and then he cracked up, and thank God it worked out really well, because it could have, you know, sometimes you make a joke and you're like, ooh, is this going to be good? Or do I know this person very well? Or is this like the right crowd? Or, and then I don't know about you, but my knee jerk has always been to be like, nah, just say it. Who cares?
Yeah. And that's why I don't have a job. Yeah. A real job. We know work for ourselves.
That was the last time I worked in a cubicle. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was the outtake. Yeah, it's funny too. Thinking back, when I used to work in cubicle, I would have those jokes locked and loaded, and I just wouldn't say them. I remember one of my coworkers, this guy, I know I've told you about it, Peter Cap. Well, Peter, let's just call him Peter because that's his real name. And he was a little bit older than me, but we sort of did the same thing. He was, we were in the same department, I guess. He was really sweet, really knowledgeable, really funny, nice, kind, whatever. I was like so lucky to have him as like my office, my cubicle mate or whatever. And you'd ask him a question, and he'd give you the answer. And if you asked him follow up or a more specific version of that question, he'd take his glasses off, and he had these magnetic frames. So he'd like unclick and then click them down around his neck. And once he did that, you strap in because you're about to have like a nice little, he's going to give you a really good answer. So you'd say like, Peter, I was wondering about this building. It's zoned A1. Is there any way we can do it as like a multifaceted property? And then he'd click out and he'd go, "Oh, you just said a mouthful." Or he'd say like, "Wow, that's a mouthful." He loved saying mouthful. And I always wanted to make I'd be like, "Yeah, I bet it is." But I never did, not once. And, you know, pray to God, Peter is not listening to this episode.
I mean, I'm obviously imagining Dwight Schrute. Click out, really?
He'd click out his glass, and he had the thing around his neck, you know, for his reading glasses. So he'd click them off and click them back down, like around his like as if he was wearing a necklace. He'd turn his glasses into a necklace. It wasn't like Dwight in a sense of he wasn't mean or awkward, but it was like Dwight in a sense of like when you're talking to someone, you're like, I'm talking to Peter Cap. Peter, I'm not talking to like some random there's only one person I could be talking to because he's so specific. But in no way was he like mean or offensive or curt or any of those things like Dwight.
Sure.
But he was so funny. And so, yeah, I would always have those like mouthful, huh, Peter? And then I'd sort of like, I'd gym from the office. I'd like look off into the camera that wasn't there. You know, and then I'm like, what am I doing with my life? I need a new job. I can't be working here. I can't be.
Yeah, I need a camera there.
Oh, you just said a mouthful.
Yeah, I guess moments like that still can turn into stories, right? So the camera's there. It's just a little later when you recall it on the podcast.
That's true. Like people ask me, like, there's this whole thing about like going to college and how people say it's a scam and it's not as valuable as it used to be and it's not a guarantee of a good job and blah, blah, blah. And especially stuff like we're doing, like maybe you'd like music or stuff like that, performing arts, that's probably a little bit more valuable. But like me going to college, does that help my career? Absolutely. Because I have all these awesome stories and I like learned my sense of humor and I figured out what I thought was funny. And I did all these weird life experiences there that I now can make fun of or make jokes about or reference or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the things that I think people who are like badmouth college, I'm kind of like, all right, dude, cool. Tell me more about like your MLM scheme. Like tell me about the vitamins you're selling. You know, like tell me more about
remove the best 4 years of my life, please.
Yeah, exactly. By all means, tell me it was a huge waste, you know. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous. Yeah. And I just met a comedy duo that does sketch stuff on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
At TikTok headquarters, by the way.
Oh.
But I digress. They adjust.
How long were you there?
Just grown up. Yeah, like 5 seconds. Well, 60 seconds, that's all you get.
Wait, 3 minutes. No.
It's no, three no. now. No, they can do 10 now. Anyway, they didn't they're older and out of college. That one guy got a job and the other guy kind of floundered trying to, I mean, I guess that sounds bad, but he was looking for a job or whatever and then started a YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the two of them have had that life experience of sitting in a cubicle or whatever. And I feel like that really helps them be comedy writers, because if you just in high school become YouTube famous, you're missing out on that relatable part of life. I don't know how you can.
Yeah, I think the answer is professionally. Yeah. That makes sense professionally, but it also makes sense for like life stuff. You know, there's a lot of weird I don't know about you, but when I was 18, I wasn't fully matured, and I wasn't fully like matured when it comes to talking to girls or like dealing with a group or to being a leader or being part of a team or whatever.
Like, you're all saying you're all that now? I'm so impressed.
Well, I feel a lot more prepared to do all those things than when I was right out of high school.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, of course. I mean, you're legally an adult, but there's a lot of life.
You can vote, right? You can't drink, but you can vote.
Yes. You can look at porn.
Nice.
And smoke cigarettes.
You can make porn while smoking cigarettes and buying scratch tickets.
But not in a voting booth.
But not while voting. In a voting booth. No, wait a minute. I don't know. We'll workshop that.
Ooh, mom reference again. I remember when I was really little, I went with my mom and she went to vote. Not a porn thing. It's a voting thing. And she was in the booth and I ran over and put myself under the curtain. And that was like a big deal. Did an alarm go off?
She's threatening democracy.
That's what it felt like, which I did not know. Learned my lesson. It stuck with me because I was very young and I'm still traumatized about voting. That's why I haven't voted since.
Smart. I voted in a church. And I remember thinking,
that's odd.
F that guy, only I didn't say F. I said duck that guy, only I didn't say duck.
Wait, God or the person you weren't voting for?
The guy I wasn't voting for. That God? Which God? All of them.
Fire Hall, that's where we voted in my hometown.
Fire Hall. Fire Hall's where we played bingo. That was our big night.
They probably have bingo too.
Bingo. Man.
And
I mean, talk about life experiences. I played bingo in a fire hall. I can't believe anyone ever will be able to say that again.
Do you think bingo has been eradicated by COVID or what?
I think bingo has been eradicated by this iPhone or DirecTV or Netflix or anything else that's mildly more interesting than sitting in a hallway listening to B68, feeling great.
First of all, that was never interesting. Out of focus. And second, there's bingo weekly on Santa Monica at Hamburger Mary's.
That's drag bingo at a lively bar with drag people and people with energy who are under 65 generally. Is that fair to say for that? That's the
if you're over 65, maybe B9
instead feeling fine.
Difficult instead of going to kill you. That is as energized as you need. That's energy for them.
Yeah, we played. We had nothing to do, and there was no internet, and we were too young to sneak out and get booze, and we were too old to go to bed at 8 o'clock. So we used to go to play bingo, and it sucked.
As a
mainly
kid,
sucked because
bingo?
I didn't win every time. Such a scam.
What were the prizes?
Like a stuffed animal. It was like carnival prizes, you know, or like a board game. Or
I love stuffed animals.
You know, the big prize at the end was $100. You know, that's a lot of candy. You know what I mean? A lot of bubblicious. But we did. But also, you could like, looking back on it, like $100? There's like 100 people in this room and each ticket is like $5. Like, what do you, this is kind of a scam here, fellas. But next time.
Did you ever win the 100?
No, I never won anything. And it was, I never knew anyone who won anything, and I never won anything, and I never won any of the prizes, even though if I actually thought about the prizes, they were not prize worthy. They were like, it's like somebody's garage sale.
Okay.
Like
idea.
A really, really elaborate garage sale.
A gambly garage sale. If you took a portable printer?
A portable,
you know, like you can just strap it to your
an agile printer,
your scooter, your jet ski. And then as they're calling, you make an edit in Photoshop, print it out. You have a winning board and you get the $100. And I would have gone for the stuffed bear, but that's fine.
Are those things loud?
Printers?
Sportable printers.
Sportable printers. I don't know. Because my jet ski is always making more noise than the printer when I'm sporting with it. So
frustrating. Have you ever been jet skiing?
I want to say yes, but I can't tell you where. I have the sensation of sitting on a jet ski.
Oh, it's not like a secret. You just don't remember.
Yeah, I signed an NDA with the company that lent me the jet ski. No.
I signed an NDA with Malibu, California.
Maybe I haven't. Because I can't name the place that I've done it, but I feel like I've sat on one before. But maybe that's just because every jet ski shot is a GoPro strapped to a person and it's like, whoa, I'm in it.
Right. And I've played at the arcade, those motorcycle games. Yeah, that big old jet ski thing. That's basically the same thing. I've never been jet skiing. I've been water skiing, but not jet skiing.
I just got a really great idea. Get one of those old arcade games and modify it to project what's on my laptop so that my office is on a jet ski. So now I can work. But my desk is a jet ski.
Nice. How cool and is then that? get a green screen behind you so it appears as though you're in.
Oh, then you're jet skiing on Zoom.
And then your water is just like splashing you in the face, and you're like, "Yep, it's oh, that effects. Sounds great. Sounds terrific." You could do it. That wouldn't be that hard.
No,
you'd need a waterproof laptop.
The hardest thing is paying for the big arcade thing, right?
Oh, wait a minute. You're saying you're actually going to be in an arcade game? Or I thought you were going to be Zooming.
I just want the arcade game sitting in an office. And so my office desk is a jet ski.
Smart.
I'm working, but it's on a jet ski.
So you're actually
Where are you working? A normal office chair?
So you're actually working just on a jet ski. I'm talking about on a fake jet ski. I'm talking about being on a real jet ski and fake working.
Oh. Both are valid. I feel like they fit our personalities.
We could Zoom. That'd be a handy Zoom for sure.
Yeah.
We just watched what is that show? White Lotus. Do you watch that show?
Yeah. I'm on jet skiing. Season 2, episode 2, so don't go past that.
Well, spoilers, they go jet skiing.
Dang it.
No! It's a weird one. It's one of those shows where, like, do you like shows where people are awkward? I like a very, very small amount, but I don't have a big appetite for it. And I know people, like, love awkward TV, awkward humor. Awkward situations. People like love shows like that. I don't. It makes me uncomfortably awkward.
That's what I was saying with Z-Way. I can't watch anything that Ben Stiller does because I feel like I'm him.
I know, and it's so funny, but I'm like, it's great. It's hilarious. Get it away from me right now. I cannot stand this.
Just put the ashes back.
Yes, exactly.
That, and then I have to take a step back and realize this is not you. You're not going through that scenario. But I feel like there's a twinge of that in every single thing you consume. People, even if I watch a Max No Sleeves video, I'm kind of being you. There's even a term for it, a literary term for you being the character that you're reading about, but I don't know what it is. But that I think it's just stronger in some people, and it's clearly strong in both of us, where we feel like the main character.
Oh my god. I mean, I'm the main character of I'm the protagonist of everything I see, which is why certain movies are a little weird. Like, you know, like Showgirls, that's a tough one for me to not see myself in. You know, I'm just like, this makes so much sense. You know?
It's exactly what I would do in act. Like,
it's the first say.
There's another term, audience surrogate.
Yes, I know that one.
I'm familiar
well.
With that, where the audience specifically, it doesn't need to be the main character. It's another character that's sort of speaking the audience's mind, which I have a lot in you, when you come over and see the kitchen yard that I made and you go, what? You realize you just did this at home alone. And if no one was watching, okay, no, you're still insane. You're the audience surrogate there saying what they're thinking.
I like that one too. And I feel like that once I heard that, then I started noticing it a lot in stuff. And it was a lot of the times it would be in comedy horror movies with a joke in it, or someone would be like, what are you talking about? You know, like, we got to go rescue him. He's like, no, we have to run away and never come back. You know, stuff like
that. Yeah. Right. Do you need that?
I guess you need it.
Well, otherwise I'm going to be Ben Stiller. Jeez. I hope people surrogate as me sometimes when I'm really struggling. I want them there with me getting through figuring out how to create something and then the triumph of actually doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, it's a funny one because I heard it a lot with Batman. This is going to get, we're not going to get it that deep. That's all right. Batman a lot of times is like that, where people like think that they could be Batman, but that's not actually what they think. The reason Batman is so popular, and I think that the reason it resonates with so many people, is that you want him to be possible, and then you want you to be able to do cool stuff like that. And you want him to like almost die every time, but not, you know, because then maybe you could dodge bullets like that, or you could like pick yourself up like that or something. And it's an interesting, it's not just an audience surrogate, but like an audience surrogate aspirational thing. Yes. You know what
attainable,
I mean?
Attainable, but aspirational. Yeah.
Right. Attainable. Yeah. Exactly. Right. If I just do that many push-ups, I could be Batman. Which is,
I've done enough push-ups. I should be by now.
90% sure.
So you think it's because he doesn't have superpowers, so that makes it attainable?
Yes. That is a big part of it. I also think it's because he has suffered an immeasurable amount and he turned that into something good.
So, because I too have had bad stuff happen to me and I too could then become a superhero because of it.
Right. And your stuff is probably pretty bad, but your parents weren't murdered in an alley in
My
front
stuff
of you
is not
when you were
bad.
Six.
My mom's watching this right now, supporting me wholly.
One time got a paper cut and it was unbelievable. And now I am.
And the ER Rockman. Did not even care. I had to wait 8 hours.
Oh, man.
That, what is that? 4 mom references now? Jeez.
We need to do it.
Oh, it's because I'm thankful for her.
Great call. Great call. That's what you call a tie-in.
Yeah. After you're
a mom surrogate. The surrogate is, I'm Allie's mom, and I'm just waiting for someone to mention me.
She shuts it off now. She only heard the first one because she's like, I got to it. We're done.
Well, she'll see on Twitter, they're like, oh my God, 7 mom references. Can you believe it? She's like, oh, where's my phone? Where's my phone?
I was watching Rogan.
I was just watching Joe Rogan and who was on it? Miley Cyrus. And they're talking about like dance moms. And Miley Cyrus, I guess, like loves the show Dance Moms or the little girl pageant theater kids or whatever.
They're from Pittsburgh, by the way. We competed against them in my dance school.
Nice. And you smoked them. And Joe Rogan goes, Miley goes, watch this. She's about to like do a dance spin or something. I can't remember what the term was. What is the specific term?
Brittany would be so mad at you.
I know. Well, I think it was like it was like a split or a twirl and then a split or something, but it was something. And Rogan goes, see, this is like, it's like all the same. It's like all the same over and over again. And she goes, that's exactly how I feel about your show. It's just like, ugh, the same over and over again. Oh, look at this. And like, she just, it was amazing. As if I couldn't love you anymore. Somehow you like, or as if I could love you anymore. Somehow like my 100% is now 150% or whatever. Like, it was just so cool.
That's really great.
Ugh. Thankful for your mom. Is that fair to say?
If we're talking about fitness, thankful, no. I'm precisely unthankful for her because she's always like, don't hurt yourself. Don't push yourself too far.
Smart.
Don't do anything outside of the comfort zone of physically, which I understand. She's trying to protect me.
That's nice. That's nice. Imagine if it was the other way. Well,
then I'd probably be Batman. What?
Yeah, probably. Did I tell that story about Earl Woods?
That name sounds familiar.
Earl Woods is Tiger Woods' father. And he was apparently like famously horrible to Tiger growing up. Keep him out on the course for 17 hours a day, and he'd have to chip while it was pouring rain, and he'd keep him on there until he sank 10 putts in a row, or like these horribly unfair, uncool things to do to your kid. But Tiger is the best golfer, blah, blah, blah. And so there was this thing where these parents were watching their kids practice some sport. It may have been golf, it may have been something else. And they were talking about all the classes that the kid's in and all the extra training and all this stuff. And the one dad goes, yeah, it's kind of hard because the kid gets real tired and he's clearly sick of it. He doesn't want to do it. And he might hate it, actually. And I feel like I'm almost making him hate definitely his sport and maybe his life. But, you know, you can't have a Tiger without an Earl.
Wow.
No, I love that thought process, that crazy, you know, twisted thought process.
I mean that's the premise of Dance Moms we were just talking about.
I know. And they're star. I mean, talk about a star. Dance.
Yes.
Stars.
Absolutely. But that's probably also why I'm still doing it, I guess, because I never got pushed to the point of hating it. I'm still a pianist.
You're ready to get pushed. So they didn't, were they not overly athletic? How did you get into athletics?
My parents are not overly athletic.
They weren't?
My dad can play the bass.
Nice. So then,
does that count?
So what happened? They just signed you up for all this stuff and you're like, I like ice skating.
Yeah.
That's you. That's my you at 12.
I had this false belief in my head that I could become a superhero if I just learned how to do everything, and I would be the person that could do everything because I learned it. So I signed up for all that stuff. I took swimming lessons, figure skating, dancing, piano.
Any real tennis, sports, like with a ball? Or
shut up. With a ball. Juggling.
Touché. But not combat juggling.
No.
No.
Josh.
It's a shame.
And what about you? Did your parents support your fitness endeavors?
Oh, they were very supportive. They just, I think my dad was pretty athletic. My mom was kind of also, but not nothing crazy. They, you know, I think they just signed me up for stuff and I liked this and I didn't like that. And they made me stick with stuff because I was, you know, I think little kids are very quick to be like, I don't like this. And then 2 years later, they're like, this is my favorite thing in the world.
I definitely didn't like dance at first. Well,
yeah.
Which ones did you eschew?
I really liked soccer and basketball. Those are my two favorite sports by far, and football. And then I stopped, but I never played football. I just played in the backyard. But once I had to put pads on, I was like, I don't know about this. And I didn't like pads. I never played hockey. And I really, basketball was my favorite sport. And then I broke my finger. I couldn't play. And then I started wrestling. And then there was that whole mat ball incident. And then, but soccer was my favorite by far for the longest time. But then I got worse and worse and worse at it. And I also figured out that people were faster than me eventually. And I was like, wait a minute. This weird. I thought I was the fastest person on the planet because when I run, I hear the wind, you know, past my ear. And then I found out that I liked soccer. I just wasn't very good at it. And I was really good at wrestling, but also I put the hours in. You know, I would go to camps in the summer and I would go to clubs whenever. And then anytime there was an open room, I would just go and roll or whatever. So I I thought I liked it because I was naturally good at it, and in reality, I liked it because I put the time in, you know. And I think my only discernible athletic skill that's better than the next person is being able to mirror someone pretty easily, pretty quickly, because we had that. That was my skill, A, and we also, our wrestling room was in a dance studio with a mat down, so we had a mirror right next to us, so you could really see what was going on, exactly how.
But except, like, for that one spot where the bar was.
Yeah, that was a blind spot for sure. Then I'm, you know. But yeah, like we'd go to camps and stuff, and the usually the way that it works is everybody sits around in a circle, the coach shows a move, and then he's like, all right, ready? 1, 2, 3, clap. And then everybody splits off and does it. And I would have to reteach it to all my friends because I knew it immediately. None of my other friends knew it.
Wow.
But so yeah, that's probably my only discernible skill. I don't think I'm very tough or fast or strong or overly coordinated. I really have terrible balance. Like, I don't know. I think I've told you this, but I know I've told people that you could just, if I'm standing, you just like tap the back of my knee, you know, then people fall down. Usually people will like stumble and be like, oh, Allie. If you do that to me, I will like hit the floor and like smash a bunch of tables. And my friends in college used to do that to me all the time. I'd like grab at the bar and like drag my hand across, you know, like to try to catch myself, knock over about 17 glasses. And yeah, it was really funny at frat parties with plastic cups. Not so funny at bars and restaurants with glass and metal silverware. That was not great.
So, so many places in Boston you can't go to anymore. Oh, the 17 cups guy. No.
Ah, do we have any plastic cups? Break out the plastic cutlery. But that was my
only. Did they try and push you into anything non-athletic? Were they like, 25% of you has to play the piano?
Very good. I did play the piano for a long time. I liked it, but I definitely stopped liking it, and then I stopped. I didn't get over back into it. I never got over that hump to be like, oh, this is actually kind of fun. I was just like, this isn't for me, and I wasn't. It was like kind of embarrassing after a while because I like wasn't practicing enough to justify keep going to, you know, play and practice, you know. And then the people in my piano class kept getting younger and younger. So then the recital was like me as an 18-year-old and the next girl as like a 4-year-old, and I'm like, nice one Lucy, that was a good one for Elise, huh? That middle part, oh my god. Anyway, you guys want to get a beer or yeah, it was fun. And I did theater, but obviously I didn't want to be looked at as a sissy boy. So that was kind of a weird, that was kind of a miss for me because I was really into it and I was really good at it. And then I was like, oh, but I have to play sports because I'm a man. I'm a Massachusetts male. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's kind of a miss. And now I think about it out here when we're out in LA and all these people are like into the entertainment industry or into just getting weird showrunner assistant jobs or PAs or whatever on movie sets, or there's all these roles other than lead character. You know what I mean? There's all this other stuff you could do. You're not just one guy. You know, a TV show isn't made by the two main people. That, you know, arguably they're not that even, they're not even that important. So it's kind of weird out in LA, but I think
you sort think of it's because of where you grew up.
That what? I'm such
that
a man.
That was like, totally. Not cool. Yeah.
Where I grew up, the time I grew up, I guess more where than when. And the stuff that I was into, like for example, when I was in college, all the guys were like into finance. And so I took a bunch of econ courses and I was like, this sucks, but
it sounds
awful. I guess I should be, you know? Yeah. It was just it was like not fun at all. But it was just, you know, I think it's that idea of like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I don't get it. And there's also a lot of other things in your life where like, I don't get it now, but I think if I stick with it, I will get it. And that does come true. So you're in sort of a
weird spot. What do you mean, like mushrooms or LED therapy?
No, like any sport, you start. You're like, this is awful. Why do people like this? And then after a while, you're like, oh, I'm
working out.
Now I'm good at it. Or now I'm, you know, once you learn that, oh, you don't get on the treadmill for 90 minutes at a time. You do heavy squats instead, and you get more excited about where you are and what your results are, stuff like that. You learn more about what's good for your body. You learn more about what's good for your, like what exercises you're excited for. Maybe you love CrossFit, or you love HIIT workouts or stuff like that. Or maybe you love like marathon, like for whatever crazy reason, you love running marathons like a lunatic.
People do.
I know, they really do. There's a lot of marathon. They just run.
I know.
Straight.
You know there's a Spartan race that's a marathon length too? I know.
Why?
I don't know. Christine's talking about doing it.
I'll go watch for sure.
Paint your chest. No, that's so long. I'm not watching over 5 hours of whatever that is.
Well,
obviously.
The other thing about a marathon is it's usually like through a city because they're far. But a Spartan race isn't that the one where you like monkey bars and obstacles over mud and stuff like that? So what are they doing? Whatever. Just like 37 laps?
Yeah. And
it's like a NASCAR with humans.
Yeah. Turn left.
Great. Now do that 199 more times. That sounds like a blast. That sounds like a real hoot.
But yeah, how much of what you end up doing and focusing on has to do with you being good at it? And I mean, just like in general, how do you, because like you stopped soccer because you were feeling like you were better at wrestling, right?
I guess it's more of like I stuck with wrestling because I was getting really good and keeping and leading the pack as I got older. I stopped improving at soccer because I would only do it during the soccer season, especially in high school. I think we've talked about this before, but you know, the extra hours you put in really makes a huge difference. People that do their sport all year round crush, or people that do whatever interest they're in. You know, whoever does summer camps or spring leagues or whatever, it's just more hours in, and you're developing so much physically and mentally at that point and in your sport or whatever that you want to, you have to keep going. And so I like soccer a lot, but I didn't put in the extra hours the way I did with wrestling and the way my friends would with soccer. And so then suddenly they're much better. I'm the same, you know?
Yeah, so it was more about, you think it was the time put in, not necessarily the natural talent.
Definitely. And a healthy amount of natural talent. I don't think I'm naturally very talented at that. But
yeah, I guess, because I'm not talented at lifting. I lift like pretty low numbers, especially for my body weight, I feel like.
Really?
Well, I mean, I check online and it's like intermediate. That's...
Where are you checking, like musclehead, musclefitnessbabe.com versus like stickfigures.com?
Level of weight compared to your body weight based on what lift you're doing. And I've been lifting for quite a while. I'm sure there are plenty of people that lifted way longer than me. But yeah, to be at intermediate, I don't think I have a natural talent for it. But I guess the difference there in motivation is that I still see it getting better in relation to me. Mm-hmm. So maybe that has something to do with it versus being like, I'm very good at Olympic lifting, because that would be motivating in itself, you know, and that's definitely not the case with me.
Hmm. So you're motivated by improvement.
Yeah.
I think that's totally fair. Totally.
I mean, natural. I guess specifically lifting is very personal, even though they do try and make it like a competition.
Yeah. And there's also like that motivation is funny with lifting because especially in the beginning, the jumps you make in improvement and how much weight you're lifting, those increases are massive. You can double the weight that you were lifting before, you know, just because when you're beginning, you have no idea what you're doing. Yeah. Form improves crazy. You get, especially Olympic stuff, you can do other stuff like you strengthen sort of smaller supporting muscles for bigger lifts or whatever. Mm-hmm.
So you might not even getting stronger, you're just physically mentally getting the movement better. which
but then at the end, once you're sort of established, then you're improving like a pound here or like 2.5 pounds there, and you're like,
or yes! Down this week. Yeah, right. Yes.
Yeah, that's a funny.
Yeah, and when you first start too, they call it newbie gains, but you get, your body recomposes. You'll gain muscle and lose fat at the same time, which is incredibly hard once you're at a certain training age. Like after 3 years of it, you're gonna have to bulk and then cut and then bulk and cut, not simultaneously gain muscle and lose fat.
Bulk and cut. Bulking.
Oh man, why is that not our podcast name? You're bulking and I'm cut. Other way around, obviously.
Cutting, bulking.
Oh, hey, Fitheads, coming at you live, bulking and cut. All right. So, what other fitness things? Now that we've landed on the topic, we're talking about things in the fitness and health world that we're thankful for, because Thanksgiving is coming up. It's always good to be grateful and recognize that your life could suck a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. My life sucked. I told you I jacked up my knee, right? That really sucked. I guess I'm thankful that I'm alive.
Wait, is this a recent thing, or you mean before when?
Remember I told you a couple weeks ago I jacked up my knee up pretty bad, and I was like pretty sure I tore all the CLs in my knee. It got a little worse. Went to the hospital.
You were at the hospital?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a combo because my knee was really bothering me. And also I needed a checkup relatively early. I'm a little early for my checkup, but my previous doctor retired. So then I'm on my health website or whatever. I pick my new guy and they're like, his next appointment is February 1st, right around the corner. And I was like, cool, perfect. And then they had this thing that was like, oh, whoops, we got a cancellation. How's Monday? this is on Friday. So I was like, oh, yeah, pop in. So I went in mainly because of my knee, and also secondarily, or like sort of luckily, because I had he had an opening for. But yeah, so I was deadlifting and it was too.
But it was on the Smith machine, mess. Right?
It was on the Smith machine, but I thought I racked it. And then I didn't. And then so I caught it. Do you know what I mean?
So see, like, this is why no one should ever use a Smith machine.
Ever. For anything. It's a disaster. So it's all, the moral of the story is never use a Smith machine. But anyway, so it was too heavy.
Things we're thankful for. Actual free weights.
Yeah. Things we're thankful. Machines we can blame injuries on. So anyway, my knee buckled a little bit, didn't feel great, heard a pop, which was always a bad sign. But also at my age and with my knees, I think I pop. I'm basically just a Rice Krispie, a bowl of Rice Krispies. No, I'm a bag of popcorn. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm certainly not like a
roll,
not like
of bubble a, wrap.
That's pretty good. What was that? What is that harp? The flat harp called?
A flat harp?
Yeah, it's like an electric harp or something. Auto harp maybe. You played it in like middle school. Bing. Anyway, that's not what my knee sounds like. That's in my brain. That's what it does. But anyway, it popped all around. Didn't feel great. But then he yanked on my leg pretty hard. He was like, does this hurt? And I was like, no. He's like, does that hurt? And I was like, no. He's like, rolls his eyes a little bit. And he's like, when did this happen? And I'm like, 5 days ago. He's like, okay, why don't we give it 4 weeks?
Oh, Lord.
And I'm like, okay, never mind. But yeah. I mean, if you don't think the night before I was Googling like total meniscus tear surgery, total knee replacement surgery, rehab from, you know, multiple ligament tears, you know, blown up knees, exploding knees, like that was disgusting. That was a tough night for me the night before. But luckily he was like, just don't lay off the heavy lifting, no more heavy strain on the knee. Give it a couple weeks, you can walk, keep flexibility up, but sounds like a sprain or a strain or whatever. So that was really nice. I feel a lot better about that.
And is it starting to be better? Have you stayed off it?
So what so the hard. Problem was, I did something and then it was fine for like 4 or 5 days. And so then I did another leg workout, not even a real one, just to like 30% of my normal weight, you know, but my same routine, but light. I just kind of wanted really to see if this thing was working or not. And it was not, because my knee then just got very sore all the time. What you want to look for with stuff like this is swelling, pain, and bruising. Those are usually the big three horsemen of the apocalypse. depression, obviously. So four. And none of that really happened. It was just sort of like, you know, when you hit your knuckle on something or your toe, and like if it ever bruises, that means you broke your toe. But if it didn't bruise, it means you're just going to be in pain for a while, but it's fine. So not a lot of fluid, not a lot of swelling, not a lot of pain, not a lot of bruising, anything like that. So then I did it again. And then the second round, that's when my body was like,
Yeah.
Chill, bro. So now I'm chill broing, which is whatever. It's fine now. I can walk around. I have full range of motion. I'm not tap dancing or anything, or I'm not break dancing. But I am thankful that my physical.
It had
body
to be break dancing, not tap dancing, because you could definitely tap dance, but not break dance.
Well, you're putting way more strain on a body when you're. Sorry, I'm supposed to post a TikTok. Ugh. Putting way more strain on your body when you're breakdancing. I know, it sucks. It's late.
I mean, clearly you've not seen some serious tap dancers. You gotta check out some Fred. Savion Glover. He's doing some stuff with his knees.
I mean, are we name dropping dancers? Giannis Marshall.
Heels.
Yeah. Talk about knees. Talk about tough on the knees.
All right. Do you want to stop and post?
I just did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you had to save it in a draft. See, it takes me forever. Because I also posted 5 different platforms. 6 if you count my fitness.
That was not
channel,
for me. Too. That was for the Beard Club.
Oh, got it.
So I have to send them in to get approved. So then it's actually nice, because then I'm done.
Nice. Beard's coming in nicely.
Thank you. I have to reevaluate my personality every time I have full coverage.
Lucky females don't have to do that.
I remember saying something. I was making fun of, I think, one of Britney's friends. And I said, the joke was like, or we were talking about the joke where like you splash water on a girl's face and then you see who she really is. Ha, ha, ha. Or, you know, something like the joke really is there can be a huge disparity in a girl's appearance based on no makeup to full makeup.
Sure.
And I remember saying to this girl, it's funny, like I wake up and I'm ready to go and I feel great. You know, I don't need to spend an hour getting ready or it's amazing. Like I don't have to deal with all that stress. And she was like, wow, that's funny. That would be really depressing to me, waking up and thinking, yeah, this is as hot as I can get. Where's
Well, you just put a solid hour in and then be a 10.
You know, and she's like, whereas I wake up and I'm like, this is maybe a little rough right now, but I could, yeah, give me an hour and a half. I'll knock you out of the water. You know, it was very funny, you know,
yeah.
Flip around. It's true.
Pretty great.
I buy it. I believe it. I mean, what am I, you know, I put on a tux. That's not doing anything. Or is it like a girl in a sparkly dress? Suddenly it's a
Menguin.
Ming, shout out Ming. Oh, shoot. I have to send in those suits. I forgot about that.
What if you just don't return the suits?
No, that's weird.
They're going to see you wearing them in social media.
Because I'm going to tag them.
Yeah. All right. What other thankful things are you for?
I had caffeine. Huge, super thankful for caffeine.
The one supplement that feels like anything. Ugh, that's
the best supplement there can possibly be. I had motivation IG videos because I hate them, but also like, where would we be without them? How would anyone ever get anything done without first checking motivation, hashtag motivation Monday, you know? Where would I be without David Goggins, without a video of David Goggins jogging? The profile of David Goggins jogging while he yells at me about something that I didn't even know I had to be angry about.
Yeah.
Where would anyone be, you know what I mean, without that? Thank God for those.
Did you read his book?
No, I didn't read his book. I'm not in the business of I don't buy it. I don't have it, you know, and I have no idea where I would get it. How was it?
To be fair, I didn't read his book. He read it to me while I covered a car in pop sockets.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say, well he tucked you into bed and gave you a little smooch on the forehead, a little pat, yeah. And was like, it's all gonna be okay.
You must get out of bed. It was weird because it seems like I'm a big fan of pushing myself, but then, you know, we learned that sleep and recovery is super important, and he was not about that. He was just about mentally pushing yourself to the limit. He wasn't about super compensating, you know, it was just going as hard as you can.
Mm-hmm.
He never was like, yeah, and then I come back stronger. It's just like, yeah, and then I push myself to my limit, and then I push the limit further.
Right. And then I die.
Yeah.
And then I wonder why I, you know, and then I wonder if like what the thing I wonder about Goblins is like, what is his wife Goblins. Like, you know, imagine being his girlfriend or like his friend. And you're like, all right, man, I got to go. I got to get burly tomorrow. He's like, you're going to bed? Wuss, just power through it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Dave. Thanks, man. Thanks for the advice.
He did not seem like he took care of himself.
No. And especially now that we've read all about, that was the other thing I wrote down was sleep tracking. But now when I'm feeling like crap or whatever, I really like that I can look at my sleep and be like, oh, there you go. I feel like crap because of my sleep. It's like the same thing with the makeup. Like I have a huge range of improvement now. I know why I feel so crappy or I'm so disoriented or disorganized or depressed or whatever. Yeah. I track my sleep and it's like, well, you stayed up late, you drank a bunch of booze, you got up too early, your cat jumped on your face a couple times. You know, like there's clear ways you can improve it pretty quickly. So sleep tracking is a big one. I just re-downloaded Rise.
It's also the reason that I'm not concerned about alcohol because I can't get hungover. I just had bad sleep. I wake up the next day.
That's a great outlook. Bad.
Sleep was garbage. It's just that's true.
It's one of my favorite ones from whatever, one of those animated shows.
Oh, yeah.
Family Guy, probably.
Yes, right? I know exactly what you're going to say because I say it all the time.
Are you drunk? No, I'm just exhausted because I stayed up all night drinking.
That's great.
The best part of that one is it's him in the living room with a bunch of beer cans like everywhere. And what they did was... When she opens the front door, it's that sound of beer cans getting pushed away as they rattle. Like that attention to detail just makes it that much funnier. It's really like such a funny thought. And then someone's like, and we should do this. You know, that's so lovely. So satisfying.
That's a big thing in improv too. You don't play the thing. You play trying to not be the thing. Right? So if you're awkward, you play trying to not be awkward, you know? Or if you're drunk, you don't play drunk because it looks fake. You play that you're trying to keep it together. And
no, I feel I'm just terrific. Tired yeah, for sure.
it works so much better.
Yeah. So I had caffeine, motivation, IG videos, sleep tracking. Those are my big three.
Yeah.
And caffeine is really supplements because I'll throw in protein and fish oil pills. Although.
Fish oil, does that, do you actually make a trackable difference though? Who freaking
no,
knows?
No, but the track, the things that you track is number of heart attacks, at least for men in my, you know, over 25 or whatever. So yeah, I'm at zero, knock on wood. So yeah, I'd like to keep that streak going. So yes, I am tracking fish oil for sure. But the only problem is fish oil is like sometimes I'll burp and it's like, oh, I just ate like a can of tuna fish. Like, what is that? It's disgusting. It's so gross.
I'm blaming routine for my bad score on my bristle test.
There we are. It's a showdown.
Routine is supplements, whatever. They do put fish oil in it because I'll.
Do you not? Are you, is fish oil bad for you, for chicks or for?
I think it's still good for all genders.
I know, like those omega-3 fatty acids are supposedly really good for men's hearts, or maybe it's just.
We should also just eat salmon.
Yeah, but salmon's so gross. I had a business meeting fishy one time burps
from dinner.
I know. I had a business meeting one time and it was at this place in Santa Monica called The Lobster, and spoilers, all they have is seafood. And I remember just being like, I was like giving it like my prep presentation or whatever, my pitch. And then like, as I look at the thing, I'm like, and so anyway, like in you know, in so we're good because in Q3 we're good. But yeah, for sure. Once we include all the extra factors, what? Like, I keep looking at the menu and being like, I'm so screwed. And then finally, I saw something that said barbecue, and I was like, yeah, I'll just do the barbecue. And it was barbecue salmon, and it was horrible. And I like muscled through it because I wanted to pretend like I ordered it on purpose. But yeah, I immediately went and got like some chicken fingers after that.
A 5-year-old boy.
The Lobster is right above that bar on Santa Monica, the pier, right at the base of the pier. Do you remember we went there a couple times with those huge beers?
And they had like a back. Oh, yeah, okay. We should have went to the Lobster instead. That sounds way better.
Yeah, I should have. Next time. We'll get them next time.
Still fishy burping from the barbecue salmon.
So gross.
Oh, you're so wrong. All right, well, the one big one that I had is fasting. It feels like it cures all ills.
Except for hunger.
No, it gets rid of your hunger, too. If I was grazing, I'm hungry. Fasting gets rid of my hunger.
Mm-hmm. Did you worry about, I mean, how much, I guess kind of a silly question, but you ever worry about not being able to get in the amount of protein or nutrients or calories that you want to get in because your eating window is so short?
Yes, especially after speaking to Ari.
Yeah,
because I heard the people saying that stuff's debunked. Yeah. And that it's more than 20 grams, but it's probably more like 40 grams. And so
so you're talking about the amount of protein you can absorb in a single sitting.
Right.
Sitting.
Right, and Ari was saying it's 40 and that the rest of it just flushes out your body.
Right.
Versus being used as carbs or fat somehow. So I don't know. It's weird because I still don't understand truly. And obviously it'll be different from person to person. But
right.
I'm having 125 to 140 grams of protein in one sitting. And so what? I'm only using 30% of that?
Seems low, but I don't know. I also don't know. I don't know. Every time I hear something like that, I'm just like, I don't know. And honestly, all it's telling me is there's more I don't know.
Yeah, and then like, you should test it on yourself because there are a bunch of studies on whatever, but there's that couple of outliers that were exactly the opposite reaction, and maybe that's you, you know?
And how do I test that, and when do I?
No,
I mean I get a personal full body MRI was insane.
Yeah,
that was such a good idea, but also like that seems expensive. do you have your own machine at home? It's like a tanning bed.
It's right next to my fake jet ski.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this whole thing.
I did start having protein before my workout. I used to work out fasted. Now I have a protein shake and then work out. So I guess there's kind of a 90-minute window between that. So I'm getting 25 grams and then their other 100.
Pretty good.
I don't know. But and I tracked very closely any changes with that because it's the one thing I changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a difference.
That's a bummer.
Or not. I mean,
how long do you have to track it? Maybe that's the other.
Yeah, and I track for so years. And I'm like, well, I just need to give it more time. I'm 50 and then I make one more
change. I'm like, well, I got it
1 minute earlier.
And now I'm finally enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a part of what I was asking Ari too. It's like you can't control for one thing. There are too many variables. Yeah. And even if you tried, you would be dead before you ever figured anything out specifically for yourself.
I know. Well, we'll see. One of these days we'll get it. Do you want to know? We should probably wrap it up, but do you want to know our... I told you in wrestling practice, we had all these weird practices, right? So we had like Martin Luther King practice. And it was like...
What? It was like wads, like hero wads for the holidays?
Kind of. It was like, well, he was... Martin Luther King Jr. was actually... he was born in 1929, so we'll do 1,929 sit-ups. Ready to go.
That's definitely... They do that in CrossFit too, but I guess you guys probably invented it.
So we were just making them up. And frankly, it was just this guy on my team named Jeff. Shout out to Jeff, you psycho. But anyway, the Thanksgiving Day one was Turkish get-ups, high knees, army crawl, narrow push-ups.
Yeah.
Kettlebell swings. Oh, flutter kicks, upright rows, and lunges.
I mean, that sounds awesome. No, Turkey, I get that.
Turkish. Well, it's Turkish, but it spells out thankful.
Oh.
Turkish get up, high knees, army crawl, narrow push-ups, kettlebell swings, flutter kicks, upright rows, lunges. Yeah. And I remember being like, you know, we could have just done thanks. We didn't have to do thankful. And he was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Let's do thanks. So then we did it again with an S for sprawls, which is basically a burpee. So if you're looking for a workout this Wednesday or Thursday, that's a good one. Thankful.
Well, man, I was thinking about doing some sort of Murph level wad.
You know what you should do is a turkey beer mile.
I did. I've done that with Martine.
A turkey leg?
No, a turkey. Well, it's dark Thanksgiving beers with there was a turkey on the label.
So. Oh, I'm saying a turkey leg and then a lap.
Oh dear.
Now the reason this is fun,
I need someone to compete against.
Yeah, my knees all messed up. I can't do it. Sorry. Whoops.
Yeah, you're still gonna beat me.
Just like hopping.
I'm busy enjoying the leg.
Yeah, I don't have two legs. I don't have two workable legs.
Yeah, but you have the turkey leg. Never mind. All right. Anyway. Happy Thanksgiving, fit heads.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We are thankful for you.
Big time.
This is episode 141 that I happen to know that. And it's awesome that we've been doing it this long and that you all are here. Holy crap. That's cool.
That's really cool.
I feel very lucky that I can just hang out with all of you and shoot the proverbial poop.
Turkey legs.
Are we still not swearing?
I don't know. I think it's sometimes I try not to, and then just as like an exercise, and then sometimes it just sort of pops out. You know, I'm from where I'm from. I am who I am.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm from where I'm from, and it's my very lovely and sweet mother, so I don't swear.
Smart.
What is that? Nine mom references in this one? Well done.
Double digits next year. That's the goal.
All right. And we'd be thankful if you can rate and review on Apple Podcasts. That helps us out a whole lot. And we'll see you next week.